Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you more than three decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. How are you feeling? How are you doing? That's what this show is all about. How are you doing? We want you to leave this show better than when you got here. A little calmer, a little healthier, a little more joyful, and a lot more informed. Okay, and that's what this show is all about. 800-688-9522. John, you know the aging and mortality rate in this country is still at 100%.
That's what I hear, yeah.
And those are hard numbers. I did a study.
You did?
I did.
Okay.
And, you know, one of the things that we have as caregivers is we have to deal with certain unpleasant realities. And because they're unpleasant, we push them off. And we don't want to talk about it. It makes us squeamish. It makes us... It overwhelms us sometimes. And I thought, we're going to change that. We're going to change that on this show. And I enlisted the help of some folks at the National Funeral Directors Association to come in and talk about death and end of life. And what do we do? How do we handle this? So many people are caring for somebody in their own home. What do you do? All those things. So Randy Anderson is from Alexandria, Alabama. Is that right, Aunt Randy?
Alexander City, Alabama.
Alexander City, Alabama. And I've actually been there.
Oh, really?
Don't tell anybody. That? Don't tell anybody. I want your city to remain intact. And
it's a nice place.
It is a nice place. I was just driving through Andalusia yesterday. And
that's a good place, too. Yeah.
Oh, it is. You are with the National Funeral Home Directors Association, and you run a funeral home down there?
Yes, sir, in Alexander City, Alabama.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been in funeral service almost 30 years now.
Was it a family business?
It was not. I'm a first generation.
First generation.
I was an educator. Yes, sir. I was an educator before I became a funeral service professional.
What drew you to it?
Well, I think the biggest draw was the ability to be able to help people in a very difficult time of their life. And if I could encourage them and help them along that way, that was something that was very important to me. So that was my calling.
I love that. And it is a call. I believe that it is a calling. My dad's a minister, and as a pianist, I was free labor for a lot of funerals because he needed somebody at the piano. And so I got conscripted. And then I've carried on that tradition. I can't count how many funerals I've played at. And I never play weddings. I don't know if you knew that or not, John.
I did. You mentioned that to me.
I don't
once.
Like to play weddings. There's too much drama. And people say, well, wait a minute, funeral? No. Funeral's a different time because it's a time to really care for families in a much different way. And so, Randy, that means a lot to me to hear you say that because I do think it's a tremendous calling, a ministry, and it's an opportunity to be with folks. This is a subject that we as caregivers don't want to talk about, but I will say this. A couple years ago, Randy, when my wife was in really bad shape, and a lot of people didn't know this, but we almost lost her multiple times, and I was certain that this was it. And she had a lot of infections, and it was a bad situation. And it dawned on me that, and I would check on her regularly throughout the day, and just to make sure she's still breathing. And right. and I thought, okay, if she passes away right here in the house, who do I call? What do I do? And I thought, let's just start with that question because there are a lot of people that are dealing with that. They don't know who to call. So what's the first thing you do if you're taking care of somebody and your loved one passes away and maybe you've been thinking it's going to be happening or maybe it just happens unexpected? Who do you call?
Right. Well, the first thing you do if that loved one's under hospice care, you're going to contact the hospice nurse that's on call, and they come and they take care of all of the rest once they're on the scene. If there's not hospice, then certainly, I think you'd need to call 911 to get an ambulance there, and then they would go from there and notify the local authorities, and then the local authorities would notify the funeral home of your choice.
So you don't have to call the funeral home first?
Not necessarily. It's if you anticipate that death is coming, I think it's a good idea to sit down with the funeral director at some point and then maybe discuss some options and then let them tell you the particular way that they handle things in a home death.
All right, so I'm just going to keep little notes on this because a lot of people don't know what to do. We're going to put this out on the podcast as well at hopeforthecaregiver.com. So you call if you're under hospice care, then you call the hospice folks that are working with you. If you're not,
yes,
and it just this just unexpectedly happens, or it just happens and you weren't under hospice care, then you just call 911 and they'll send an ambulance out.
Right. Yes.
And then they will call the police after that and just let the police know this is what's going on. The police don't have to come to the home, do they?
Not necessarily in all jurisdictions. Some may come to notify the coroner or medical examiner, and then the medical examiner will make the call to the appropriate funeral home.
Okay. All right. And then, so what are the things, you've been doing this 30 years. Why do you, other than the thing, it's death and it's uncomfortable, what are some things that you can do or you can say today that would help inspire people? Let's go ahead and have this conversation now before we get into those crisis moments. And start doing a little bit of pre-planning.
Right. That's the absolute best thing you can do. If you talk to your loved ones, whether they're sick or whatever, and find out something about them, because a funeral service is set to tell the life story, basically. And we have some wonderful, helpful things that you can do. A program called Have the Talk of a Lifetime that we sponsor through the Funeral and Memorial Information Council, as well as the National Funeral Directors Association. A deck of cards that has questions about life. You can sit down with your loved one and answer those questions. It's kind of like a card game. You're back and forth. And it gives you a lot of information about that person and helps you plan in the future of their memorialization at the time of their death.
Well, and I've seen so many, and I know you have too, where the family just really wasn't prepared for this, and the service was sad, but not because there was a death. It was sad because they didn't really take this opportunity to celebrate that life, and do that.
You need to celebrate.
And if you wait until the last minute, or if you're trying to throw something together, chances are it's not going to have it'll. You'll have regrets over it, and you don't want to do that. I've been to funerals where there was so much passion and life, and those things, and everybody walked out of there, yeah, with tears, but not tears of despair, not tears of rage or resentment or frustration, but tears of, wow, this was beautiful. And that doesn't come without a little bit of planning, does it?
That's exactly right. You have to sit down and have some ideas. Sometimes people get in a rush to get this over with. They're tired. They've been through a lot of things. But my advice to families is wait. Don't be in a hurry. Take time to think about this. You may plan a wedding. We talked about playing at weddings. You may take months to plan a wedding, and that's a very important part of life. But it's also important that we plan for funerals, and we don't get in a rush. We don't have months often to plan for funerals, but we need to take our time and plan that celebration of life so that that person is fittingly remembered and their legacy lives on in the memories of those that attend.
I play at my church a lot. I got a lady who comes up to me and she says she really wants me to play at her funeral. I said, well, do you have a date in mind? Because, you know, my calendar's getting kind of full. Mm-hmm. And she kind of looked at it. But, you know, pick out the songs that you want. And all right, I only got one beef with funeral homes. One beef. You ready for this, Randy?
I'm ready.
They
yes, sir.
Just don't have good keyboards. You know?
Right. Of course.
I get these cheap electric keyboards or some kind of Wurlitzer, you know, and it just breaks my heart because get a piano in there. Get a real piano and do it. But do you have any kind of pull with that?
Yeah, well, I do at my funeral homes. I have two good pianos.
Oh, well, all right, from now on, if you want me playing at your funeral, you're going down to Alexandria City.
Oh,
well,
music is an important part. It's definitely important.
And there's no wrong way to have a funeral as far as that goes. I mean, it needs to be reflective of the person. Do you guys help with obits as well?
We do, yes, sir. We usually sit with the family during the arrangement process and pin the obit and get everything like it's supposed to be and all the personal information. An obituary is just a short life story, so you want it to say something important, not just announce the funeral service and the visitation.
Yeah.
And tell a little bit about that person.
Well, a lot of people aren't writers, and they'll try to do things that they probably shouldn't do, and they could use the help of some people who've done this before. I saw one the other day, and they put the guy's nickname in there in the obit, John, and it was Varmint. His name.
Okay, look. If the man has the nickname Varmint, it probably was appropriate. Well, for
you know,
the kind of person he says.
Have a little bit of dignity, but you know, but it's good that most of your better funeral homes are going to have somebody who can help write, help the family put together a nice obituary. And is that
Absolutely.
Correct?
Yes, sir. Right. I think we're all pretty well trained in doing that.
All right, now, one other question here, and I'm just doing the lightning round with you, Randy, so thank you for taking the time on this. It really means a lot. This is Randy Anderson with the National Funeral Directors Association, and they are, I think your headquarters out of Wisconsin, right?
Right, Brookfield, Wisconsin.
Yes, and but you're down in Alexandria City, Alabama, and 30 years he's been doing this. So these are things that we want to just talk about. We don't have to get all weird about it and morbid about it. It's just a part of it, and we need to make some good decisions on it. And some people have the you know, they don't go to a lot of funerals and they don't know, but I have played so many. I've had the best seat in the house kind of thing, and I've seen it when it goes horribly wrong, and I've seen it when it's really done well. And I've done these alongside my father for years as a pastor, and then my pastor now of almost 20 years, and he and I have done so many together. And I take it as a real honor, and he does too, of being able to escort families all the way to the grave. It's quite an honor. But it doesn't come without a little bit of planning. What are some things that people need to look for in a funeral home director? That, you know, these are good markers. These are some things you might want to stay away from.
All right. Well, a good funeral director, you're going to hear in the community about funeral directors. And the best way to find out about a funeral home or funeral directors is to talk to someone who's been there and let them share their experience. Today, you can go to funeral home websites. Most of us have review sections on there, so you can look at the reviews and the comments that people make. Also, if you find an NFDA funeral home, National Funeral Directors Affiliated Funeral Home, we have a very strict code of conduct that we ask our members to abide by. And if they abide by those requirements, then they're certainly going to provide excellent service to the families that choose them.
All right, so that's a good safety net, too, the NFDA. And look for that. And, again, we'll put this out on the website. Just a little tip that you can do. And there now. I'm going to go out on a limb. You and I have never met. This is our first time. I'm going to go ahead and say that you don't mind if a family comes in with a whole list full of questions, do you?
Oh, we welcome them to do that. And one resource that we provide from the National Funeral Directors Association to help families is a website called rememberingalife.com.
By the way, we're doing this on Facebook Live right now, so I'm going to go ahead and put that in there, rememberingalife.com.
Just a world of answers to questions that you might have before you get there. There's a checklist of when a death occurs. They're find a funeral home, so you can find a National Funeral Director's funeral home. Ways to honor a life, considering the value of a funeral service and about funeral services. How to plan those services and options that you have. There's just a world of information that's good for the consumer as they make plans for funeral services. And I advise, like I said earlier, advanced planning. It's a great way to be sure that everything is done and you don't have to do this in a rushed manner.
Well, and that is the key, is don't rush. Go ahead and start now. Have the conversation. There, you know, it's hard enough being a caregiver. You don't want to have to then go through all this with some kind of franticness there. And
right.
and I think that if you do this right, then you as a caregiver can get to that point where you're standing, when you're at the service as well, and you can be ministered to in that process as well, where you don't feel like the weight of your... Because you got to understand, for a caregiver to stand at a grave, it's a traumatic thing. They have put a life into taking care of someone else. And part of them is going to experience this in a way that other people won't, as you know, unless they've done it as a caregiver. And so that service needs to be what you want it to be as a caregiver as well. You need to have input in this and do this in a way that is comforting to you, because you're the person that's standing so close to them. I appreciate you calling. Will you call in some more?
I'd be glad to do that.
Okay.
You just let me know when.
All right. And listen, it's Randy Anderson. And what's the name of your funeral home down in Alexandria City?
It's Radney Funeral Home and Langley Funeral Home.
Radney and Langley. We'll put this out there. And this is from the National Funeral Directors Association. Just some tips. Don't wait. Don't make this a hurried thing. Do this in a way that really celebrates life and celebrates you as a caregiver as well in the process. Randy, appreciate it. Listen, this is Hope for the Caregiver. We've got to go to a break. We'll be right back.